we worked for the Leafs last night, and listen, they're not all going to be pretty. They're not all going to be Picassos. They're not all going to be comfortable, you know. And what do we always say? If you don't have to win pretty on the road, you know. And the Devils, I give them a lot of credit. Like they, I thought the Leafs played really well in the first. They're up 2-0. They're feeling good. The Devils completely. They turned into a wagon in the second and third period. They were coming on, and obviously the review process was a big part of the story.
Hayes, I don't know what happened.
Leafs played well. When
they came back from Anaheim, we talked about them being in the bottom of the dumpster, and it's slippery and it's messy getting out of the dumpster because they were in a mess.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for I don't know if they had a team, a player meeting, or they went out on the road together or what they did, but they just got a bit of jam to them right now. Like, I saw Rasmus Sandin on the bench. He was all cut up, and he's got a scar. Not that he's probably ever going to do that again, but they're just doing stuff that's what we always talk about. Like, they're playing with some jam, and they got some stones, and they play with some intensity and some purpose. And when we talk about having an edge to you, we know there's no more punching people in the head or fights. Mm-hmm. Like, the Sandin, that might be their only fight this year. But they just got some zip to them and some edge where they want to battle and contest the puck. And you see with New Jersey, when you do that on a nightly basis, the way the game is played now, you give yourself a chance to win. And when you have the talent that they have and you combine that with playing like that, you're always going to have a chance to win. It's been a pleasure for me to sit and watch them, as opposed to that nonsense out west where you're like, this isn't even
likeable.
No, they
were terrible early in the season.
And you, as a fan or as someone watching, you're like, this is not even likeable. It's not sustainable. You can't win like this. And everyone wonders why people freak out with the lack of success in the past. But what they're doing right now, it's really good stuff. It's really good stuff, and they give themselves a chance to win, and they're likeable on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you're
what
right.
Mark says, but I agree. I agree. I just think that they know that there's injuries. They know they have to play a certain way to get through it because they're very thin on the back end.
Yeah, but Jamie said it as a standard. When other guys come back, that's the way it's happening, and nothing different.
I agree.
Yep, no, for sure. Now, it helps. Murray's played really well. Like, what do you have, 34, 35 last night? Tavares scored his 12th. But that's it. You're racking up points, man. They're racking up a lot of points. Here's Mark Masters, our TSN Maple Leaf reporter, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. That was a gutsy win. It was a pretty wild scene down there, though, Mark. What was that like? How would you put that into perspective? A game in November against Jersey didn't really feel like your standard regular season game.
No, it didn't. I'm not going to forget that one for a while. But it felt big coming in, even just because the Devils were going for their franchise record win streak, and the Leafs were playing without, you know, now Riley was out, so they were kind of amped up to make a statement. You know, New Jersey had got them at home not that long ago, just a few days prior. So even heading into the game, and the building was great. Like, the atmosphere was awesome right from the puck of the drop. You know, it's the eve of Thanksgiving. The drinks were flowing. I'm sure that maybe factored into exactly how things went off the rails later in the game. But it was a great atmosphere. Both teams, I thought, you know, rose to the occasion. It was a great game, and the Leafs played well, got it done, and it was, you know, the reason why Sheldon Keefe calls it a character win. But yeah, I'm not going to forget that one. That turned pretty quick.
Mark, we were just talking about their approach and what they're doing on the ice, how it looks different, and it's a lot more enjoyable. And like for the team, they've got an edge. They're competing. They look fast, and obviously when you're you know, the big talk is playing fast, looking fast. It's just got a different look to them. Do you notice that kind of ringside or being in the building?
I notice that there's a commitment and dedication to defense right now that's just off the charts. I mean, you know, I guess with the goalie injuries and then now most recently all the defense injuries, it feels like they've just decided that we're going to win 2-1 if we have to, and that's the way it's going to be. So they've really bought in. Like, that's the foundation right now until the goals start coming at a more regular pace, right? Because you got to believe Austin Matthews is going to get scoring a little bit more than he has been so far, just based on the track record. So they've been getting by because of this incredible complete buy-in right now. And because of that, they're in every game. And then they know that they've got guys like Mitch Marner who can make that amazing play to set up John Tavares yesterday. And they're going to be able to cash on another moment and they get it done. So that's what's standing out right now, is they are an incredible defensive team right now. That's kind of their identity at the moment.
Mark, what do you make of, I mean, Matt Murray has been a fantastic story since coming back off the injury. How far is Samsonov away? And, you know, this is where I'd like to see the tandem be healthy and kind of battle for the net. How far is Samsonov away? And what are you, you know, seeing in Murray's day-to-day preparation, too?
Yeah, I mean, Murray's, he left practice before practice today, did his goalie work, and he left. So they've been doing that a lot. I mean, the schedule's pretty crazy, pretty busy. You know, tomorrow matinee, then a game again in Pittsburgh Saturday, and then Monday, and then home for Wednesday. So it doesn't really let up. So they've been giving him the practices and the morning skates off. And I don't know about Samsonov's status. He did practice today. And, you know, previously Keith had said he's not going to be available on this road trip likely. So not expecting him back, but he did take part. But this practice today was like basically a glorified morning skate is how Keith described it. They just wanted to get on the ice because they knew with the matinee they couldn't have a skate tomorrow. So, and then with the back-to-back, they're not going to have a skate Saturday morning. So Samsonov, at least it's a good sign that he was back on the ice. I'm not sure what to make of his progress just because he was on the ice so quickly after the initial injury, kind of caught us off guard, and then he wasn't responding great. So we'll see how it goes, but it'd be nice to have the tandem up and running the way that they saw it, because you really, really don't want to overwork Murray based on the track record.
We have Mark Masters, our TSN Maple Leaf reporter. Leafs in Minnesota tomorrow, that game on TSN. Now you got Jamie Benn, or Jordy Benn, out week to week. So Riley's out, Jesus. Benn's out, Brody's out, and I keep including Muzzin, but he's been out for a long time, and he'll continue to be out for a long time. And I guess Keith said today, Connor Timmins showed up, he practiced, but they don't want to rush him in for whatever reason, so he won't be available tomorrow. So what happens here, Mark? Like, if we're talking upwards of 2+ weeks before we see Brody, Benn, Riley, like, how do they go about business here on the defense, considering this is really going to be an extended period of time, and they're pretty thin on the back end?
Yeah, apparently Timmins had not been on the ice for the last 3 days. And then again, as I mentioned today, really wasn't a full practice. So they're going to be a little, I guess they wanted to let him get settled here and get up to speed before they just throw him in. So I hope you're ready for the all 5'9" defense pair of Victor Mete and Mac Hollowell, because it looks like we'll see that tomorrow against a pretty big physical Minnesota team. So they better be fast, those guys on the back end. And then you got Sandin Liljegren, who held up okay yesterday, but it's been hit or miss when they've been in top 4 minutes previously. And then you got 39-year-old Mark Giordano, or I guess Liljegren calls him the machine because he just wants more and keeps going. But how much can you really shovel onto his plate? How soon, basically, until all this catches up with the Leafs is what we're all wondering. But I mentioned the defensive buy-in, and the forwards are coming back like with aggression and helping out, and they're not making a lot of mistakes in their own end, and they're trying to help their vulnerable D right now by just being a well-rounded five-man unit out there. We'll see, though. At some point, you got to believe it's going to catch up with them, especially I lay out the schedule there. Pittsburgh's won every game since they lost to Toronto and Pittsburgh, so they seem to have turned a corner. Detroit's playing pretty well. They're a much better team. That'll be on Monday night, and then they come home. San Jose will be an easier opponent, but first game back from a trip, so we'll see. But yeah, it's what are they down? You know, Dahlstrom got hurt in the they're down like 6 of their top 11 options right now. So hopefully Timmins can get up to speed and get in and see what they got with him.
So Marner sets up Tavares for the first goal last night. That gives Mitch Marner a point in 14 straight games, and Tavares is up to 12 goals on the season. That connection, it's working well. I don't see Keith changing it anytime soon, but he's prone to do that anyway. Like, maybe by the end of the first period tomorrow, he could flip them again and have Marner with Matthews. But what can you say about the way that these two are playing in particular? Tavares and his ability to score recently, and Marner just dancing and racking up points.
Yeah, they're really good right now, and they need it. I you know, they'll have a new winger tomorrow. Kalle Yarncroke's going to be up there in the top 6 with those guys tomorrow, and we'll see if that gets going. Keith says he can finish and is playing better, so they want to give him that chance. Nick Robertson comes out as they continue to kind of tinker around. But considering all the moving parts among the forward groups, that Tavares-Marner connection since they've been put together the last few games here has really been driving the force here. I wonder, you know, if at some point Sheldon Keefe wants to give Marner back to Matthews just to try and get, you know, Matthews going even more than, you know, he hasn't scored. It's I keep waiting for it to happen. because we're 21 games in and whatnot. But, you know, Matthew's the only minus, I think, on the Leafs last night, which is not going to happen too often. So I do wonder at what point you do get the two M&Ms back together. But right now, I mean, you got to love what you're seeing from Tavares and Marner. Marner, such hard work on the forecheck, and then just knows exactly where to put it. And Tavares is going to finish that every day. Yeah, it feels like that chemistry is coming back from that first season pretty quick. And that's a real positive development for the Leafs.
Absolutely. With Mark Masters, our Leaf reporter. Mark, you're obviously around the team all the time, and you were down there at Scotiabank a couple of weeks ago on the Friday night, the Hall of Fame night, and when Salmon came out, it was incredibly emotional. And then the next night on the Saturday, where it was all about Boria, he passed away today at the age of 71. But now that you look back on that weekend where he was back in Toronto, and how emotional was it? Everyone keeps having their own kind of anecdotes about, you know, what it was like, their own personal experience. What was it like for you to be a part of that weekend with Salming in town?
Yeah, it was special. I mean, it's pretty emotional for everyone. It was a TSN broadcast that Friday night, so I was down ringside, and you could feel it. You could feel it. And then the next night, I was up in the press box, and they had the pregame ceremony. And it was heavy. You know, I mean, the players themselves were saying they were fighting back tears. I just remember that Friday game. I wanted to, obviously, you see the moment with Sittler there in the pregame, and I asked to talk to do an interview with Daryl, and I was told that he wanted to do it, but with Lanny McDonald and Tiger Williams by his side. And I was, you know, given a heads up, you know, don't necessarily ask Tiger a question because he's probably prone to start bawling. So the whole night was pretty heavy. And then today was heavy kind of too in its own way, because obviously it happened so recently. You know, Sheldon Keefe said it hits home even more just because of how recent and how emotional that was. I guess general manager Kyle Dubas kind of addressed the team before practice and gave them the news. And William Nylander told us he that caught him completely off guard, and he was still having a tough time processing it when he talked to us. And he did take solace in the fact that Salming's not suffering anymore with this terrible disease of ALS. And he also, you know, said it was special that Pontus Holmberg, of all people, gets, you know, the winner last night, the last goal, before we find out Salming is passed by a Leaf, and it's the latest Swede to crack the lineup. So they'll never forget who paved the way, and it just feels like, yeah, it's really it's a heavy time. So I'm sure there's some things in the works for tomorrow's game, and I know we're going to be all over it in talking about Salming's legacy in the broadcast and the pregame show. So, but yeah, that was I'm not going to forget that. That was a pretty heavy night and special night to be a part of down at Scotiabank a couple weeks
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. All right, Mark, great stuff. Thank you for doing this. We'll catch you tomorrow in the pregame. Obviously, the Leafs on TSN, Leafs Wild in Minnesota. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
There's Mark Masters, our Leafs reporter, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.